This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I was lurked. Diana, I have been lurking.
I was the lurkey, yes.
Online lurking. There's nothing wrong with it.
Who'd you catch lurking?
I went into the pharmacy. A man was standing next to me. And he says, "You're telling me you wouldn't go to space for $100 million? I was like, "What?" I was completely caught off guard. He's like, "On the show this morning, you were talking about you wouldn't go to space for $100 million. I was like, "Whoa, right?
Look at you, celebrity.
I mean, that's lurking.
This is DCR.
So I walk into the banana section, and the guy's like hiding behind the pineapple.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it's the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you right here. 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to go to the hotline with Buster Olney in about 12 minutes here, and he's going to set us straight on the sticky stuff. What happens if you're caught with it? Are you thrown right out of the game? And what's the punishment? Like, at some point, is there suspension? Is there, like, an order of things? Like, you get fined and then you get suspended? We don't really know the particulars of what Major League Baseball will do if you get caught with the stuff.
I imagine it'll be tiered, though, right, Dave?
I would think.
Yeah, I mean, like, they'll probably be, you know, they'll kick you out of the game. I'm sure there has to be some kind of fine associated with it for your first offense. But if you're a repeat offender, then I think the discipline gets ratcheted up a notch, so on and so forth. Like, I imagine that's how they have to lay it out, right?
Has to be.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you're doing this in the middle of the season. So, I mean, you're forcing a lot of players to adjust on the fly. That's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. It's not like they have the entire offseason to prepare for the change that's about to happen.
Are you nervous for this, Chris? As a Yankees fan, with Gerrit Cole, with the way he answered things yesterday, are you concerned that Gerrit Cole becomes just a pitcher, or do you find that hard to believe?
No, it has to be a concern, Dave, just based on the change that you saw from his last year in Pittsburgh to his first year down in Houston. I mean, he's a completely different pitcher, so you're wondering how much of that is him putting the spider tack on the baseball and how much of that is him just figuring it out and putting it all together. Like, I mean, it has to be a concern because you're paying Gerrit Cole to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, that's why we gave him a contract for $324 million. If all of a sudden he falls back to the pack, then I think that puts the Yankees starting staff in a little bit of a bind. Because he's got to be the anchor, Dave. If he turns out that he's not going to be that guy moving forward, it's going to be one of the worst contracts in baseball.
Well, the fear is, too. I mean, it wasn't great timing, right? Like, if it was just he didn't have a great start, but when you take into account, I mean, the minor leaguers being suspended, all this stuff coming out, that his last start was not a great start for him. And the spin rate was down, RPMs were down, and everything else. I would be concerned as a Yankee fan, yes. And the answer to that question is yes, you're concerned.
There's a big start tonight for Gerrit Cole.
It's a huge. I said it yesterday. This is a humongous start for him, especially after that press conference.
Could you imagine if he goes out there and gets hammered? I mean, just gets rocked? How concerned Yankees fans would be that you're locked into this guy for years and years?
Sheer panic, Dave.
It would be.
That would be break glass. At that point, I'd be like, okay, break glass. Already the team has been struggling. But, I mean, if Gerrit Cole goes out there and throws a stinker against the Twins, then it's time to break glass in case of emergency. Like, it would be like the season has come completely off the rails. Like, I mean, at that point, I think it's real to entertain the idea that the Yankees might not make the postseason. Because I don't think you can get off
what
the mat if Gerrit Cole is not the ace of your staff.
No, I mean, like, if you're Gerrit Cole, like, what do you do? Like, if that becomes the reality, like, the reason that I'm Gerrit Cole is because I'm using, you know, spider tack or whatever it is, and now all of a sudden, because we've abused the right, like, we've abused this privilege to the point now where, you know, baseball isn't fun to watch and no one can hit, now we can't use anything? Like, now what? Like, now you're out there naked.
I mean, maybe you try to slip some out into your glove, and I don't know.
How, though? If they're checking you twice a game, the starting pitcher's going to be. I mean, and he's the face of it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to pat him down like it's Enrico Palazzo at there. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you. I mean, what do? Do you just go from being this dominant, you know, second best pitcher in all of baseball behind DeGrom to you're just a guy that every fifth day takes the mound? You don't know what you're going to get.
I mean, he's uber talented. Right. But I mean, there is Gerrit Cole in Pittsburgh compared to what Gerrit Cole was.
It's not the same guy.
It's not the same guy. And you, I mean, you heard. I mean, they said it at the time. I mean, Trevor Bauer said it. They insinuated that he got some kind of special secret sauce in Houston with what they were doing to the baseballs. And I have a hard time not believing that with what Houston's been what Houston's done already. Right? I mean, Houston, they...
Yeah, the reclamation project for everyone.
The Astros, habitual line steppers. They got their picture in the dictionary under that term. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, listen, it's hard to imagine that Gerrit Cole is going to have the same amount of strikeouts, the same strikeout rate, if he's not using the sticky stuff. But, I mean, you just hope that he can still be an effective pitcher. Like, your hope is that, you know, over the last couple of years, that he has improved, that he has figured out how to be more effective in getting outs, and that he's not just reliant on that sticky stuff to be untouchable. Like, I guess that's what you have to look for if you're a Yankees fan. That's what you have to hold on to. We'll find out tonight. I think a lot of people are going to be looking at this and trying to figure out, okay, is this the version of Gerrit Cole that we're going to get moving forward? I think they're going to make that determination based on what we see tonight.
He pitched 5 years in Pittsburgh, had one season with an ERA under 3. He has now pitched 4 seasons outside of Pittsburgh and has not had an ERA over 3. So, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I think you know what the answer is. I think yesterday's press conference kind of alluded to what the answer was.
He's using stuff.
And it feels like he's using spider tack, because otherwise, like, the second he mentioned it by name, it was like it caught him off guard.
Because if you were using something and you were asked, have you used something different, you'd say, nope, I never have. I would never thought of using that. I never would. Listen to it again. It's shocking if you haven't heard it. Here is Gerrit Cole. Here's the conversation. You judge for yourself.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't. I don't know. I don't know if I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players, and I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard, and I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, teams. And so if MLB wants to, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
That never gets better.
No, it doesn't. It gets worse. That's worse now.
Every time I hear it, I'm shocked that he gave such a horrendous response when asked that question yesterday.
But here's the thing, Dave. With the answer that he gave, I feel like it puts so much more pressure on him in this start tonight than if he would have deflected and just deferred to Major League Baseball doing the investigation and making it a point of emphasis moving forward.
I don't know. I don't know if I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
I think you nailed it, though, Dave. Like, it's almost like you're right. Like, if they had said whatever. Well, I mean, I just Googled sticky stuff options for baseball.
Right.
And I got spider tack. I got spin it baseball grip spray. Like, if they had said, if the first question was, Garrett, do you use spin it baseball grip spray? No. Because that's not what he uses. No,
that's
I don't
right.
use.
No, do you use spider tech? Nope. I never have. I never would. It's not something that would cross my mind.
I don't know if unless you nailed it. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Do you use spider tech?
Do I use?
Well, you don't answer it though.
Know.
That's the thing. You don't answer it. You don't answer it. You don't even address it. They can ask you whatever question they want to ask you, but you can give the answer that you want to give.
To me, those balls are perfect.
He can ask you directly about spider tack. It's crazy to me. He can ask you directly about spider tack. All you have to do is say, it's an ongoing investigation by baseball, but moving forward, the Players Association is going to work with Major League Baseball in order to comply with the new point of emphasis. That's it.
Then you're done.
You're done.
Not the,
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, man, like, if you just, like, I made the comparison. It's probably not a great comparison, but like if you get caught doing something or you suspect that someone knows that you're doing something and they approach you, like it's a whole different conversation if that conversation starts with they know exactly what you did.
Exactly.
They got you, Rick, but that's my point. Because they already got you, why even try to defend yourself? Why talk about the customs and practices that have been going on before you even became a part of Major League Baseball? It's no point bringing up the players of yesteryear and talking about the culture they created. There's no point. They got you.
No, because he doesn't want – you're right. They got him. But what he's trying to explain – because now he's on the defensive. Like once, okay, you got me, but now I'm going to tell you why I was doing it. And hopefully it lessens the blow.
No, it's not going to lessen the blow. You got $324 million from the Yankees. It's not going to lessen the blow. There's nothing that he could say in that moment that's going to soften the blow. The only thing that he can do is address what they're going to do moving forward. That's it.
You say that. Like, there's nothing you could have said? Probably in this case, no. But, I mean, Andy Pettit saying what he said about HGH, that lessened the blow for Andy Pettit.
It did. It did. Tremendously. I did it the one time, and that was it. And we move forward, and you look at Andy Pettit as an all-time great Yankee. I mean, Gerrit Cole, that was as bad as it gets yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Buster Olney. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing better than Gerrit Cole at the moment. So yesterday was it was a bizarre press conference. We know that. Let me ask you this. How much do you think, do you think we could have seen the last of the great Gerrit Cole moving forward? Or do you think this doesn't have a huge impact on what he is?
No, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on the reality that he's one of the best pitchers in the game. Will his performance perhaps lag backward along with that of every other pitcher in baseball? Yeah, I think there is a chance of that because I think it's pretty clear that that this essentially what's happened is that pitchers have weaponized in recent years the use of foreign substances, and now we're having the revolt of the position players, and we're going to see an adjustment as we move forward. And I would say this, look, Ken Davidoff, who asked the question of the New York Post, he's an excellent reporter. I've known him for a long time. It's an absolutely fair question. But I do think as we have this conversation, we do have to keep context and keep everything in context that, Gerrit, Trevor Bauer, others who ask these questions, this is a sport-wide issue that everybody has known has been going on. And nobody did anything about it. It was so much like the sign-stealing stuff. It was so much like the steroids. No one did anything about it. Now there's going to be more focus on it. But it's not only Gerrit Cole. It's not only Trevor Bauer and a few elite pitchers. It's sport-wide.
Buzz, let me ask you a question. Do you think we ever get to this point with, the spider tack and all these different foreign substances if the sport hadn't become so reliant on analytics? Like, would guys even know?
I think that absolutely fueled it because in recent years, as pitchers became more aware on and began to focus on, what makes my delivery more efficient? What makes my spin rate more efficient? This is how I can be better in my mechanics that make myself better. Oh, how else I can make my spin rate better? Rather than using sunscreen, let's try, the spider tack. Or let's try the super glue stuff that's being mixed by a clubhouse guy that I know. That's part of how we got here. And let's face it, part of how we got here, too, is that Major League Baseball has not enforced the rule that's on the books. In that vacuum of inaction, we are where we are. With our offensive numbers are way down, and we're now getting the pushback from the position players.
Buster, you brought up the PED scandal and the electronic sign stealing scandal. Baseball put in rules to legislate those things moving forward in the offseason, so it gave players a few months to be able to understand the rules and then to be able to adjust. With this, they're going to oppose this when we're at the third of the season or approaching the halfway mark in the season. Like, what do you expect to see from the players, and how is this going to be, I guess... How is this going to be impacted in terms of how Major League Baseball disciplines guys accordingly in the middle of the season?
Yeah, and from what I understand, a memo is going to go out, later this week, perhaps with the finalization of what they're going to talk about in terms of penalties At the owners' meetings last week, they were talking about 10 days without pay. And part of what they're trying to do, obviously, is to scare users into not using by having essentially these equivalent to DUI checks on pitchers as they come off the mound. You know, show me your hands, show me your glove, show me your belt. And the reason why, and look, Chris, I mean, no sport moves more slowly than baseball when it comes to change. And so it's remarkable that you're having, you know, a mid-season change like we're having. But two things are at play here. One, the incredible diminishment of offensive numbers, you know, historic diminishment of offensive numbers and action and things that baseball wants. And two, just like with the PED stuff, back in 2000, 2001, the players who wanted to be clean, they revolted. And they began to realize in a zero-sum competition that the guys who were using had a competitive advantage, and they pushed the union leadership for change on drug testing. That's what's gone on this first third of the season. From what I understand, there are position players sending in videotape into Central Baseball saying, look at this guy and what he's doing and what are we doing about it. You know, that's how we are in this moment.
Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Very interesting conversation here on a Wednesday morning. So do you think this is a cold turkey, Buster, that it's just guys don't do it anymore? Or do you still expect guys to try to finagle the system, and until they get caught, they'll in some semblance try to use the sticky stuff that they've been using?
I do think that you will see a lot of players, a lot of pitchers stop because they don't want the scrutiny. You know, other pitchers are going to, you know, see the uncomfortable answer and the question and answer with Garrett Cole yesterday, and they're going to go, you know, there but for the grace of God go I don't want that. You know, they're going to be concerned about suspensions, but we also can't be naive. You know, if you're a 28 or 29-year-old reliever and you've been bouncing around as a 4A player, the minor leagues, and suddenly you're using spider tack, your nasty slider became really nasty, and you know that that might be the difference between you being a big leaguer and not, I think guys will try to find ways to, you know, maybe tuck it in a different place in their glove or put it in their pant leg or, you know, put it someplace on their belt. I just think that's human nature. And again, it's absolutely their parallels to the steroid era where, you know, you had essentially career minor leaguers who suddenly got jacked up and were hitting 30 home runs and increasing their value and increasing their contracts.
Well, the other thing too, Buster, is, starting especially in the minor leagues, is they're not really, they're not grooming these kids to learn how to pitch. You throw hard, you have high velocity, you have high spin rate, and you got, two pitches. I mean, there's a strong possibility you're going to be up in the majors. Like, that's what they're creating right now in this sport.
Right. And it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to be fascinated by the before and after. And I don't know the exact date that they're going to start the policing, the checking of pitchers. I heard it could be as soon as June 14th, 5 days from now. But we're all going to be looking at the before and after. You know, just as last week, Josh Donaldson was talking about Garrett Cole's start after the four minor leaguers were suspended. We're all going to be talking about, okay, what are the offensive numbers after the umpires started checking? You know, how different is the pitching? How different is the implementation of the pitching and the use of analytics? Because maybe we get back to a point where, you know, that nasty reliever with 28 years old with a great slider, maybe that guy goes away and you find that you have to rely more on the Garrett Coles and Trevor Bowers for effective pitching.
Buster, I want to ask you, what's your sense that you get about how serious Major League Baseball is about this thing? So say, for instance, we're talking about the Yankees and Garrett Cole having a postseason start and, you know, an umpire finding something on Garrett Cole, some kind of foreign substance, are they going to toss him? Are they going to pull him out of a postseason start?
From what I understand, what's going to happen, there are going to be 8 to 10 random checks during the course of games in the regular season. And if they find something on the pitcher, then the intention is that they're going to eject them. The expectation is, from what I understood the other day, my conversations, it would be a starting pitcher is probably going to get checked at least twice a game because they know that there's a possibility if they were to check a pitcher in the first inning that guy goes and maybe puts something in his glove and is on that long string that hangs off his glove, that sort of thing, in between the half inning. And I think they would carry through because, let's face it, it's like when they put in drug testing in baseball for the first time in 2003, that was a clear declaration within the sport. Okay, we have a devotion to trying to create a level playing field. And I think that's what, you know, the first day that umpires actually go out and start to enforce the rule in a way that they haven't before this, that's going to be, okay, this is a line in the sand, and we'll see what happens going forward. One of my questions is, you know, will that gentleman's agreement between managers that's existed for so long, will that start to evaporate once pitchers get yanked off the field, get suspended, and teams begin to have a disadvantage? And will teams begin to evaluate opposing pitchers and say, look, in the third inning, that guy's spin rate just jumped. Please go out and check the pitcher.
Buster, I just wish that baseball would be proactive about trying to fix some of the issues that plague the sport as opposed to just being reactive with every single thing. But, I mean, I guess my last question to you would be, I know this feels like a knee-jerk reaction because of the lack of offense and that affecting the entertainment value of the sport, but do you think them cracking down on these foreign substances on the baseball is actually going to have the impact that Major League Baseball is looking for it to have?
I think there's a good chance of it. Look, you know, when you talk to, you know, hitters and you talk to, you know, hitting coaches, they say the stuff they're seeing now is unlike anything they've seen. I had a general manager say to me in early April, he was the one who predicted that there'd be 15 to 20 no hitters this year. He goes, it's a joke. You got basically guys throwing 98 mile an hour whiffle ball with the balls moving. I do think it's going to help, but I also completely agree with you that you wish that baseball would learn the lesson that it needs to act. I've been writing about this for 10 years. You know, that whole Michael Pineda situation that happened when he had the gob of pine tar on his neck.
It's a birthmark.
The next day I talked to John, John Farrell, the Red Sox manager, the next day. He said, I didn't want to pull him off the field, but it was a rare situation where it was so obvious that they had no choice. They didn't deal with it. And so that's where we are, and that's why they have to do this boomerang in midseason.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, last couple for me, these are quick ones. I have to imagine over the last couple of years, guys have been using the same stuff they're using this year. How much of this has to do with the new baseball? And second part of the question is not related to the baseball more. How is it possible that we have instant replay and we still manage to replay calls and still get them wrong?
To answer the second one, it's mind-boggling. I think there's been incredible lack of leadership for Major League Baseball on this. To me, you know, in the 1 year I covered the NFL, you see the NBA, when mistakes are made, just acknowledge it. Just say we screwed up. The sport is full of failure, and people would respect the fact if they were to come out and say, yeah, we blew that instant replay call, and we're going to try to get better going forward. That's all anybody at the team level wants, and it hasn't happened yet. There needs to be statements from Rob Manfred or from Mike Hill, who's the head of baseball operations, on-field stuff. And in regards to the, you know, the substances, I think, you know, what's changed in the last few years is they went from using, you know, relatively benign substances, the sunscreen, the rosin, stuff that were more common, to using substances that actually essentially allowed pitchers to put a lever on the baseball where you could. And that's what Trevor Bauer's been screaming about for 4 years. Look, if you want to increase your spin rate, you use this other substance. And it's long past time when baseball needed to put a check on this.
Buster, we know you got to run. We appreciate a couple minutes. It's wild stuff. We'll talk to you hopefully with better times in Major League Baseball in the not-so-distant future. Good stuff as always. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, that, of course, is Buster only.
I don't buy that.
What?
I don't buy that all of a sudden this year is the year that everyone just found spider tack in this stuff.
I don't think so either.
You don't think there's a direct correlation that they just now changed the baseball and all of a sudden it's moving around like a wiffle ball?
It's unhittable.
Okay, so what is it? Is it the spider tack and the sticky stuff, or is it the combination of the both?
I think it's a combination of the both.
Okay, so it's baseball again. Like, oh, there's too many home runs, which people don't like because now
how do we dumb that down? We'll change the baseball. Now that the new baseball in combination with all the stuff that they use on it, it becomes completely unhittable.
Exactly.
Yep.
Correct.
No, I would agree with that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
A spokeswoman for Delta confirmed that cicadas inside the engines have prevented the plane from taking off. That's great.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's another thing I got to be terrified about now when I fly. That's
cicadas in the plane engine? Stop.
Infest the plane engines.
Yeah,
could be a new Samuel L. Jackson movie.
Cicadas on a plane? Cicadas in the engine.
Oh, by the way, Dave, for Stump Rothenberg, yeah, Nicolas Cage was one of the answers. So it got me thinking, like, because I remember that. Remember the story, like, Nicolas Cage, like, all the money he spent on weird things?
Yeah, well, he's strange.
Dude, some of the things, like, he had shrunken pygmy heads he bought. He bought an octopus.
That's just about the most awful thing I've ever seen.
Shrunken pygmy heads?
Yeah, albino king cobra snakes for protection, or some people are saying for sexual activities as well.
Oh my God.
He's, dude, dinosaur. He bought a, he allegedly outbid Leonardo DiCaprio for a 67-million-year-old Tarbosaurus skull valued at over $300,000.
I give up.
Just spending it.
The fact that there's a bidding war on this is right. Surprising,
no? Like somebody else really wants that
on a skull,
on a a dinosaur skull. Yeah,
shouldn't that go right to a museum?
I think it eventually did, but yeah, you would think. Yeah, he bought some crazy stuff.
Like, yeah,
sounds like it. All right, let's get back to the world of sports. Is this the moment that we give away these Islanders tickets? You feel right
not
now?
Not yet. No, not yet. No, let's talk a little Islanders, then we'll give away.
Oh, I
wow!
Like
you're making
so really
people want it.
Kind of percolate thing, make people like you know, salivate over the Islanders and moving on, and then at the end of the conversation, boom! You want some tickets? Here they are.
Yeah, like it's one like on a Sunday when you walk into Nana's house and she's got the meatballs and sauce on the stove. You can just smell it. She's like, no, not yet.
Does it bother you when people call it gravy? Or are you a sauce guy?
I'm a gravy guy. It depends on what's in it. If I got the meatballs and I got the brajol and I got the pork in it, then I'm going. Then it's my gravy. It's my Sunday gravy. If it's just a marinara sauce, then it's just a sauce.
Okay. All right. I like you to define how you feel with what specific sauce or gravy. All right. Islanders tonight. Listen, nothing would surprise me with this team going on the road and winning Game 7 in Boston. But you need to finish this tonight. You're home. The Coliseum is going to be insane. Your goaltending play has been spectacular. Your power play has been exceptional. Go out there and finish this tonight if the Islanders.
Yeah, your best player. I mean, Barzal, he's finally joined the party, which is huge for them. Hey, here's the other thing, though, and people need to remember this, that are going to the game tonight, that'd be tailgating and everything else, is that this is not me being negative. This is just the reality of the situation. This could potentially be the last game ever at the Coliseum.
It sure could.
Ever. So make sure you leave it all at the Collie tonight. Because I'm with you, Dave. I don't want to mess around with Game 7. You went into Boston. You won. Great. I don't want to have to play that game again.
Well, listen. I think the Islanders are like the definition of resilience. They are an incredibly resilient team. That being said, I don't think anybody's going to argue tremendously if you say that Boston has been the better team in this series. And you have a chance to close it out at home. You had the same opportunity against Pittsburgh. And you took care of business. You don't want to mess with going Game 7 against Boston on the road. It's the last thing you want.
It's the last thing you want. We see it. We just saw it. I mean, look what happened in the Avalanche-Vegas series. It looked like the Avs had that series in hand. And all of a sudden, they find themselves down 3-2. Like, it happens fast. Like, momentum's real. Like, it happens in a hurry. So right now, you have the momentum. Let's seize it. My one concern is tonight is that all of a sudden, the refs want to act up and be stupid because Cassidy said what he said. And now we have a cavalcade of Islanders going to the penalty box because that's what I don't want to see.
That was the intent of him doing that. He didn't it just to you know, make himself sound good or just to speak on hockey. He did it to set this up that in the future now he gets the calls in the all-important Game 6.
He paid $25,000 because that's what he was fined to point out to the referees that there's been a discrepancy in penalties. Because that's also real in sports. There are makeup calls and things like that. So hopefully that doesn't affect us tonight. Hopefully. But again, I'm sure that there'll be a couple that you look at tonight that are a little bit like, you haven't called this the entire series. And then all of a sudden now they decide they're going to make a call on it. But I'm not overly concerned about that stuff. I hope that doesn't play a big factor. But I mean, you know, I know what to expect from the Islanders. Like what kind of game they're going to play. You know, power play's been great. I have no interest in going back to Boston. None. Zero.
No, that would terrify me if I was a fan of the Islanders. So how you feeling? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Like, what's your – where are you at here?
There is a bit of anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not – like, it's not like a – it's an anxiousness. It's like how I would get before a game. Like, I'm excited. Like, I'm looking forward to it.
Is this a sacrifice a live chicken tonight type of game?
Whatever it takes. I would live chicken. You name it. I would do it. Give me some of those pygmy skulls from Nicolas Cage. I'll eat a pygmy skull.
Just don't tell Ella that you're going to do that to the chicken.
Don't tell her. Yeah, she's already hell-bent now because of that conversation yesterday with the chicken.
But if you could guarantee that the Isles win game six by sacrificing the chicken, would you do it?
One of my own chickens?
Yes.
You do not have chickens.
He's saying this is theoretical.
If you had imaginary chickens in your home, would you sacrifice one of those?
I guess I would have to, right? I mean, you're talking about
you have to say yes now.
Yes, I would have to. Because then we'll eat it. Nothing's going to go to waste. Like, I'll eat the chicken. And then I'll have to replace it with a chicken that looks like that chicken. Yeah, I would have to. I mean, you're talking about you're going to, this is the semifinals.
Four. And now it's locked in. The winner of the Islanders Bruins series plays Tampa, right?
Yeah, which now that sends my house into a whole different kind of disarray. With Doc and Deb for Tampa. Like, it's just. It's
who does Cassie root for if that's the situation?
She roots for the Islanders. Come on, stop.
Come on, stop. She's from Tampa.
It doesn't matter. She's married to me.
So?
She's not married to Tampa.
Well, she grew up in Tampa. Her dad loves Tampa.
Enrico Ciccone, Cassie's favorite player of all time. Who, by the way, wore number 39.
Oh, modeled after you. All right. It's now time. Islanders fans, listen up. The Isles are home against the Bruins tonight, Game 6, and 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. Be the very first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. You'll score two tickets to tonight's game and an Islanders prize pack, including an autographed puck, all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. And, of course, DCR, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it so easy to bundle your home and car insurance. We've spent a lot of time on Garrett Cole this morning. We'll get into this situation between Jay Will and Kevin Durant in just a couple moments, and I know that they're going to address that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour on KJZ, but he's been so patient, and I want to go to him, Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, my friends. Very interesting yesterday when I heard the presser from Garrett Cole. He reminded me of Frank the Five Angels, Pantangeli, and the Godfather. That's what how flummoxed he was. My God, that pause. Just come out and say no, and they will say yes, or say something. That's going to haunt him forever, and it really reflects poorly on baseball. You know, I grew up in the era when Gaylord Perry pitched, and everyone knew he threw a spitball and got in the Hall of Fame. So go figure. You know, the sport, which I used to love. I don't love baseball anymore, unless DeGrom's pitching. And they're casting aspersions. I hear the talk that maybe DeGrom is so good. Come on. Come on. This guy's been cheating. It's obvious. Look at his stats at Pittsburgh. And Houston has an impeccable reputation for being above board, don't they? It's terrible. That was just such an admission of guilt. It made me sick. But we'll see what happens today. I guess when Donaldson comes up, the ratings will go up. What do you think?
I throw a pitch right in the back of his, right behind his head. I would throw one. Forget the unwritten rules. Call me out like that. Dave, can you guess how many pitches Jacob DeGrom threw in his last start against San Diego over 100 miles an hour or over?
So he threw 85 pitches, right?
Seven shutout innings.
Yeah, seven shutout innings, 11
strikeouts,
85
How many pitches of 100 plus?
27.
33.
Oh, what?
33 pitches of 100 plus.
Jacob DeGrom is a monster.
I actually believe that since they've started recording pitches, he has the second most in the history of Major League Baseball of over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's every time he throws now. And that's why there is, I mean, that's why his name is. Because how can someone be this dominant, and how can your velocity go up every single year? You know what I mean? That's why people are saying some stuff. But
yeah, but because his teammates are coming out and they're saying he's absolutely not doing it, like such a strong denial. It's just like
they better know.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, come
it
on,
feels
if the
like
catchers
they do
are
know.
Saying there's no way that he would ever do it. I have to believe that he's not using anything. No,
I want to believe that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Kevin Pillar say he'd bet his paycheck that he's clean. Trevor May said he's just better than us.
He is.
He is. Yeah, that. Yes, I want to believe that.
But his teammates would know, though, right? Like, those are the guys that would know, right?
I've had some teammates that have done some stuff that I didn't know about that I thought I knew.
but I mean, putting something on a baseball, like, you would know. Like, you could see what's in a guy's locker. Like, you would think, okay, if he's doctoring the baseballs with something, like, you would be aware of it.
Catcher would feel it. You'd imagine that the catcher.
Yeah, it's not one of those Aaron Boone type of things where he's like, I don't know anything that's going on. Like, you would feel like the guys in the clubhouse would know because you spend more time with them than anybody else. Like, you would know if Jacob DeGrom's putting something on the ball.
And plus, you would feel it, right? I mean, the catcher would know. Like, if he's putting something on the ball, the catcher would know.
There's no way a catcher would go out and make this exclamation of there's no way he's using anything. And both catchers, if they knew he was using something, they wouldn't say anything.
If that's the truth, and we all believe that's the truth, that he's not using anything, and his teammates know he's not using anything, I mean, this is best case scenario for Jacob DeGrom right now.
Yeah, they could just walk
everyone else takes a step back.
Yeah, just walk the MVP trophy to Jacob DeGrom.
But seriously, what happens if all these other pitchers, and it's not monumental, but it's a small little, you know what, Cole is not as great. He's still great. He's not as great. Or Trevor Bauer is great, but he's not as great. And DeGrom stays as good as he's been, and everyone else takes a hit. I mean, it just hammers home the point of how great this guy is, even more so.
No, it's exponentially. I mean, the allure of Jacob DeGrom is, I mean, now, I mean, he's awesome now, but, I mean, for him to be doing what he's doing while all these other guys are using foreign substances to do what they're doing is, yep. I mean, that's next level.
Yeah. I mean, he throws over 100 consistently, and then his slider is just, he's got filthy stuff. I mean, they joke about it on the broadcast all the time. They're like, you know, why doesn't he throw all this stuff? He doesn't need to.
No, he doesn't. Like, there'd be games where he just throws straight fastballs. Like, he'll go the first inning with just throwing all fastballs.
And you can't touch that.
No, you can't
touch that. It is really remarkable. All right, three stars coming your way in a little bit, and then, of course, KJZ. So Jay Williams really in the news. He said this yesterday on Get Up about KD not wanting to be compared to Giannis. Here he is yesterday on Get Up.
So a couple years ago, we're at a holiday party, and I came on this show, and I did a segment with you, and I said we had Anthony Davis and we had Kevin Durant. Yeah. I said, you know what, Anthony Davis and KD would have a baby. The similarities physicality-wise would be like Giannis, right? I go to the holiday party. Kevin Durant comes up to me and says, yo, don't you ever, ever compare me to Giannis. Don't you ever compare me to Giannis. I said, KD, what are you talking about? You know, I was just talking about similarities physicality-wise, size, length. He's like, no, don't you ever compare me to Giannis. So when I see that matchup, you know what that matchup says to me? That's something personal for Kevin Durant. That's who he's attacking each and every day because that's been in his brain because people have talked about Giannis being on the same level. That's the kind of intensity you're seeing in this rivalry.
Wow. So he doesn't want to be compared at all to Giannis, but then KD comes out, and I'm going to read the tweet, but I'm going to clean it up because we want to stay on the air. And then tell you what he says on Instagram as well. Kevin Durant tweets, man will do anything to advance their careers in this media bleep. Wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out of all that corny bleep talk about who's better and legacy and all that dumb bleep bleep. I don't even talk like that. And then he takes to Instagram saying, this is a bleeping lie. Jay Williams can never speak for me ever. So someone is absolutely lying in this situation here between these two.
Yeah, so a couple of questions, Dave. First of all, what I need to know from Kevin Durant is why Jay Williams comparing you to Giannis, who's a two-time MVP, or to Anthony Davis, who's considered the best big man in the league when he's healthy, why is that so offensive to you? Like, that part of it doesn't make any sense. I mean, to the point where you would even think about going up to Jay Williams, who's your business partner, and somebody that you would consider a friend, and confronting him at a holiday party saying, don't ever compare me to either one of those players. Like, first of all, I need to know that. And then secondly, like, I don't understand why this is something that Jay Williams would lie about. Like, why would he go into telling the story about them being at a holiday party and KD coming up to him? Why is that something that Jay Will would lie about?
No,
that doesn't make sense. There's nothing to be gained from Jay Will for lying about that. Like, he can it doesn't make sense. I mean, this is a bad look for Kevin Durant.
It's a terrible look for Kevin Durant.
He thought they were in the trust tree in the nest. He didn't realize that was going to be a conversation that ended up coming on the air.
Yeah, but if that's something that you said, then what difference does it make? What does it matter? If you consider yourself the best player in the NBA, why does it matter that you went up to him and said, you know what, don't ever compare me to Giannis? If that's what you did, then what does it matter that he took that story to the airwaves? It shouldn't.
Well, probably because it was a personal conversation. The other thing, too, is, I mean, you're in the middle of a series here, too, where, I mean, that's... No, I don't think any extra motivation is going to help Milwaukee in this case, because I think
you're in the middle of a series.
Definitely the better team. But I mean, it's disrespect. I mean, that's maybe he likes Giannis, like as a person. Maybe he likes Giannis, and he does. I mean, this is saying stuff like that. I mean,
Angry with Jay Williams for exposing it. Don't say that Jay Williams is lying about the entire thing.
Well, I mean, now you have to decide who you believe. I mean, that's what you put in position to decide who you believe. I mean, I know who I believe.
Yeah,
I think
he believe
said it
Jay Williams. I don't think that's even a question.
But I understand. Listen, now, I mean, KD has had some, you know, issues with some stuff. He had the whole
burner account.
Thing. Yeah, burner accounts and everything else. But, I mean, here's what I'll say to your first question, Chris. Mm. Like, why is that such a bad thing? Do they say Anthony Davis and Giannis Antetokounmpo are on the same level as LeBron?
No.
And Katie, I mean, he fancies himself on that same level.
But did he say they were on the same level, or did he say, you know, compare their physical traits?
But he wasn't concerned about physical traits. Like, Jay Williams tried to explain that to him. He's like, don't mention me and him in the same, like, we're not, like, he's not at my level.
It's just strange that he would take that as, like, a negative. Like, you're a mix between, like athletically and physically between Anthony Davis and Giannis. And he's like, don't you, how dare you make that comparison. Here is Jay Williams on KJZ yesterday responding to what KD came after him with.
I stand by my story. I was probably wrong for sharing a personal story, but that's what we do. We share personal stories. But yesterday I sat there. I'm not getting back and forth on social media. I was with my family all day, staying positive. It's all good. And, you know, for us, look, man, it was meant as a compliment. There are levels to this. It was about, you know, saying, hey, how different KD is. It's unfortunate that KD felt that way at that moment. But I wish KD nothing but love and all the best success. I hope they win a championship. We talk about them every single day. Shoot, the other day I was talking about him being the best player in the world. So that's all I got to say about that. We're moving on. Kia and I are talking about sports the way we typically talk about sports. And that's the end of that, in my opinion.
Well,
I guess the only thing that you would say, I guess the only defense of Kevin Durant taking like umbrage to being, you know, compared to those two, is if you think you're one of the greatest to ever do it, would you want to be compared to guys that are like the contemporaries of yours, or is like with the greatest? Like if you mix, like would it have been the same if he was like, if Jay Will's like, well, if you took, you know, the sheer dominance of, you know, of Kareem and you mixed it with the killer instinct of, you know, Jordan.
Yeah, sure. But Rick, the bottom line is this. You're not upset at that. You're upset that the guy said,
he said it
publicly.
Yeah. Yeah, you tried. I mean, yeah.
You thought there was a trust there, and he broke that trust, and he apologized for that afterwards. But to go out and call him, just he's absolutely lying, and you're cursing all over the place at him. I don't know. He's a very sensitive guy.
But Dave, what is the one thing you have in this business that you hang your hat on? Is your credibility, right?
Right. Mm.
And that's what he did. He attacked his credibility. It's now my word against your word.
Well,
you're lying. That's what he did.
But if you know he's telling the truth and you're just hurt at the fact that did that.
No, I know, but you know how some of these guys are like that, sensitive guys like that. Like, I mean, Jeter was the same way, too. People will tell you stories about that. You crossed Jeter one time, that was it.
That was it.
You're out.
Another opportunity. I know. I get
so
it.
So, I mean, that's clearly not a conversation that you would, like, well, we know. Like, you know, like, you're, because you're a former athlete and you have friendships and stuff, you're offered, you know, the ability to have conversations.
But he probably didn't think that was. It's not like he said you're a mix between, you know.
No, I just don't know if I would have, if I'm having conversations at parties with players, I'm going to start repeating.
Fair enough.
Conversations.
All right. So to be upset with that is one thing, but to call a guy a liar and that he made it up is, and to question his credibility is something completely different. Santi, the time is yours to shine, my friend.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Number three must be Dave's opinion about lurking, because I think that pharmacy lurker, and what was he asking you, Dave, about to go into space?
Would I really not go to space with Jeff Bezos for huge amounts of money?
So you said that you may be giving second thoughts to lurking being okay now?
Yeah, I'm gonna reconsider. I'm not changing my viewpoint, but I'm reconsidering after what happened yesterday in the pharmacy. Yes.
Look for Dave Rothenberg in the pharmacy and ask him questions, everybody, all listeners out there.
Number two,
much appreciated to the TVs in this studio, which give us spoiler alerts on tennis matches. I don't know who this quarterfinal is. I don't know who the other one of these two participants are, so I'm not going to try and spoil this for you. But the next time we have something in advance, RJ and I will be sure to mention that to you guys.
Wait, you don't know who Coco Gauff is?
Coco Gauff's not in this match right now that I'm looking at. I don't know who these people are.
Oh, in the current match. Okay.
Yes, so.
Well, it was a terrible job by RJ, spoiling the match.
Well, listen, you know how you can solve that problem? coming to the studio.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Number one.
So that's a hard pass.
Yeah.
Number one star, defense attorneys everywhere, because they're just going to point to, anytime they have to defend somebody, they're just going to point to Garrett Cole.
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
And they'll just say, listen, when you get on the stand, don't do that.
Yeah, that's a bad Exhibit A. A really bad Exhibit A. All right, KJZ, a lot more of the conversation between KD and Jay Williams, and you'll hear it right from the horse's mouth from Jay Williams. It's Rule 76 for us.
No excuses, Plague of Champion. It's DiPietro, Kathy Rotherberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.